Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. Currently, we're working our way through Matthew chapter 24, which contains the Lord's predictions about the last days. This week, we've been looking at the signs which will lead up to his second coming. Thus far, we have looked at verses 6 through 8, which discuss two of those signs. The first one is actually found in verses 4 through 5 and refers to the many false Christs which will rise up, which we looked at last week. And this week we've looked at that second sign in verses 6 and 7 of wars and rumors of wars, as well as the third signs, which are famines, pestilences, and earthquakes, as seen in verse 7. Today we'll be looking at verse 9, which describes the persecution that'll come upon the faithful during the tribulation period. Verse 9 reads as follows, "Then they'll deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake." It is true that this will take place during the church age and in all generations, but here the prediction relates to the tribulation period where this will intensify and increase. Many people will be martyred for their faith during the tribulation period. And we find this truth contained in several places in the book of Revelation. Once again, we'll turn to the seal judgments in Revelation chapter 6. And this fifth seal, which is described in verses 9 through 11, describes intense persecution and the many martyrs that will be killed during the tribulation period. These verses read this way. "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge your blood on those who dwell on the earth?' And a white robe was given to each of them. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed." Let's look at these verses and the important phrases that are described here. In verse 9, it says that these martyrs were under the altar. And in order to understand that, we need to go back to the Old Testament to help us understand what this picture is describing. In Leviticus chapter 4, verse 7, as well as in Exodus chapter 29, verse 12, it describes a giant container under the altar. And this container was that which caught the blood that drained off the animal sacrifices. So the relationship here is clear enough that those under the altar, those have shed their blood for the cause of Jesus Christ during the last days. They're the souls that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And there is a great emphasis in the book of Revelation on the fact that there'll be many that will be martyred, as well as many will be faithful saints, and they'll be able to lead many to the Lord, but they will also pay the price for it with their life. Verse 10 says, "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood and those who dwell on the earth?'" So the martyrs are crying out for justice, for judgment, for God's vengeance to come upon those who put them to death, because they were faithful. They were the ones that were serving the Lord. And they cry out and say, "Lord, bring about your judgment." And the reason this judgment does not fall quickly is because God is patient. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the Lord's patience and his mercy in wanting to bring salvation is the reason this prayer is not answered so quickly during the tribulation period. I love what 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says. He desires all men to come to the knowledge of the truth, and that's why he has not come back yet, and that's why he will not bring his judgment even quickly during the tribulation period. And aren't you glad that the end of the world didn't come, say, in 1970 or 1960? Where would you be? Or 1980? Or maybe even last year, maybe you would have missed out on this glorious aspect of salvation, but it's God's patience is why he does not act in judgment so quickly. And it also says in verse 11, "And a white robe was given to each of them." And according to Revelation 19, that's symbolic of the holiness that they have before God, which is the righteousness of Jesus Christ or the righteous acts of the saints as well, that we will wear as believers in that eternal reign. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. Now, this rest does not speak of soul sleep, of literally sleeping, because they're aware here, they're awake. The rest, according to Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, is a rest from their labors. They enter into the rest that the Lord provides throughout all eternity. An amazing thing is here, the scripture predicts here that those that are under the altar at this time in Revelation chapter 6, he says that's just the beginning of those that are going to be killed. There's a whole number that has to be completed. There's going to be more that are going to be martyred during this tribulation period. And that's what we find in other passages in the book of Revelation, which we will look at. And one of the places that we find a number of martyrs during the tribulation is in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. And listen to this verse. It says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great number, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And thank God this is explained for us as to who these people are. Verse 13 and 14 of the same chapter describes this, which says, "Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, 'Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?'" Verse 14 says, "And I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' Then he said, 'These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.'" So here's a great number of saints that'll be martyred during the tribulation period, where verse 9 described it as a number, a multitude, which no one could number. So there are going to be literally a multitudes of people. They're going to be martyred for their faith during the tribulation period. The very thing that Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 9. And as the tribulation period goes on, that number of martyrs will increase until we come to the second coming of Jesus Christ. This same truth is also seen in Revelation chapter 13, verses 6 through 8, in reference to the beast or the Antichrist, how he will kill a multitude of believers. These scriptures read this way: "Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the worlds." So here the Antichrist is going to have power over multitude of nations to kill people for their faith who will not renounce him as their leader. The other passage is found in Revelation chapter 17, which describes this woman who's dressed in scarlet that rides the beast. And we're told that this is a false religion that'll be associated with the beast. And it says in verse 6 this: "And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement." So this Antichrist, as well as this false religion, is going to bring persecution upon the true believers, because they will not take the mark of the beast. They will not swear allegiance to the Antichrist, and they will suffer death. And they will be one of the multitude of the martyrs that will be killed during the tribulation period. With the rest of the time that we have left, I'd like to bring our study more to home and where we live. And what we see happening in the tribulation period, where this false religion persecutes the true believers, this is a pattern that is found throughout the entire scriptures. It is always true that in every generation, in every era, there will be false believers or those that are religious that'll persecute the true believers. And we see the same thing being described by Paul, the Apostle Paul, in Galatians chapter 4, verses 28 through 31, which reads this way: "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? 'Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman.' So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." And Paul here is contrasting Isaac and Ishmael. And it's Ishmael who was the son of the flesh, or the picture of a religion of works, is the one that persecuted that which is born of the Spirit, which is Isaac, that son of promise. And Paul says, even so it is now, even to the time the Apostle Paul was living, as well as in our day and age. So you shouldn't be surprised when it's religious people that persecute those who are truly walking with Jesus Christ. That is a pattern from Genesis to Revelation. And in the last days, it'll increase with intensity, but it will take place now. And so that is why Jesus said that there are going to be those that'll put you to death, will persecute you. And it says that they will actually think they are doing God's service when they are committing these horrible atrocities upon God's people. The Lord would call us to walk faithful. The Lord would call us to continue to walk in obedience to him and not to give into the pressure which would bring the persecution off our life. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. He says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a servant of Christ." So you cannot be one that will flee persecution. You cannot be one that will be a man pleaser, trying to please man rather than God. Sometimes in order to please God, you have to offend men, and that will bring up their wrath against you, whether that's in the workplace or whether that's in your own family, among your own family members. That is the pattern for those who are going to walk according to the spirits. Listen also to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 4 in verses 13 through 16. He says, "You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, or even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? So sometimes by telling people the truth, that provokes an anger in their heart against you, and you need to be willing to bear that. And it may come from people who once loved you. Paul says, you received me as Christ or as an angel, and you were so loving towards me that you would have gave your own eye and plucked it out if that was possible to help me in my physical infirmity. So sometimes the very people that loved us most are those that are going to turn on us because we won't yield to compromise and being a man pleaser. And one other passage from the Apostle Paul himself, which is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15. Here's how we are to respond to people who are rejecting us, even though we are doing what is right in the sight of God. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. So Paul says, I will continue to love you and serve you and be a blessing to you, even though that is not reciprocated, even though it may come back in the form of persecution. Paul also spoke in 2 Corinthians. He says, death is working in me so that life may be in you. So he took on the pattern of Jesus Christ, that he was willing to suffer the wrong, willing to be despised so that it could bring blessing to others. That's how our heart needs to respond when we're walking in the truth and yet people are being upset about it. We're not to compromise. We're to be firm to the end. The very thing that we see happening in the book of Revelation, even to the point where these people ended up dying for their faith. They set an example for us to follow today. I hope this study today has encouraged you to be faithful to the end, because the Lord Jesus Christ is deserving of such faithful service unto him. We could help you in any way here at Solid Ground in your study of the Bible, either through correspondence course or through tapes of all the studies that we've ever done here on this program. You could give us a call at our new toll-free number, 1-877-941-LAMB. Or you could look us up on the web at www.calvarylm.org. And there you will find the notes that I use for these studies. I encourage you to download those onto your own computer for your own personal studies and for your own enrichment. If we can help you in any way, that's what we're here to do, to help make sure that you're on solid ground in your study of the Bible.